KALW. From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
I live in Oakland.
I'm from Cleveland Heights.
West Oakland, California.
I think my landlord marketed it to me as Temescal, but it's actually Golden Gate.
Coming up, we'll hear how one woman priced out of her San Francisco neighborhood is trying to create a sense of home out in the suburbs.
It's a lot of memories in that house, so yeah. It's not easy saying goodbye to that home.
Then we'll hear about a former cop who bought a castle in San Francisco at a steep discount.
We kind of thought he was crazy. We didn't know why he wanted to buy a castle in the middle of Bayview.
And a deep conversation between a Mexican-born mother and her American-born son.
I feel that going back to Mexico, something will click and I will somehow be complete.
Stay tuned. Cross Currents is next. Well, school's back in session this week in San Francisco, so today we're doing something a little different. Our stories are from around the Bay Area, as usual, but the reporters are all students from the San Francisco Unified School District. They took part in a summer internship with us here at KALW, learning all about audio journalism. So today, we're handing over the mics to the students to hear stories they've reported. As housing prices continue to increase in San Francisco, many longtime residents are moving out to East Bay suburbs. But relocating isn't as simple as finding a new place to live. It's also about recreating a sense of belonging. And for residents who move away from their family and loved ones, maintaining close ties can be challenging. Julian Rodriguez reports.
So what did you cook for dinner today?
I cooked roasted chicken, mashed potatoes, lumpia, and corn on the cob.
This is a normal dinner night with my family. My baby cousin's running around while the adults are chatting it up. But this isn't as common of a night for me as it used to be. That's because my grandmother's home in San Francisco, the place where my whole family would regularly gather, was lost.
Bernal Heights is a place I grew up and I loved it.
That's my grandma, or Nana as I call her. She's the centerpiece of my dad's side of the family. For her, the loss of her Bernal Heights home was more than the loss of a house. And for me, it's put a strain on our relationship since I don't get to see her as often. And unfortunately, all of this is because of money.
I couldn't no longer afford my family house, which was left to me by my mom, being on a fixed income. Everybody was losing their homes back then because a lot of people took loans on, and I was one of them.
There were so many memories our family made in this house, from having sleepovers with my cousins every weekend to Easter egg hunts in the backyard. These moments are what made this house a home, and what made this move, as she said,
heartbreaking. It's like saying goodbye to my mom and my dad all over again when they were already in heaven.
She had inherited her home from her parents, who had lived there for decades.
It's a lot of memories in that house, even with my grandma Kika. So my kids were born and grew up there, my grandkids. So yeah, it's not easy saying goodbye to that home.
Moving meant she had to leave everything behind, including her church family. Now in Pinole, my Nana hasn't been able to find anything to replace it.
I miss bingo at our church. It was every Wednesdays. And then sometimes on certain days, they would have like champagne bingos for all the women. They had a community center as well, and they had Reno trips and stuff. And I miss all that because it was like a way to get out without having a car.
Since she can't drive, she really hasn't been able to form any connections with other people.
Unless you drive, everything is far.
In addition to losing her home, grieving the loss of her parents, and having a huge loan to pay off, she also broke her leg, so she turned to her children for help.
I was lucky that I had a daughter that was here in Pinole that allowed me to come stay with her.
My Nana currently lives with three other relatives, including the occasional stay by some of her grandchildren. Despite it being loud at times, the house is very roomy and welcoming.
You know, we have our problems, but we all get along. We have jokes, you know, we kid and everything, but I think all in all, we're doing pretty good together.
But her life in Pinole is very different. She is no longer close to her birthplace, the place she grew up, the place she loved.
I haven't been back for about 5 years now, but yeah, I do miss it.
Today I'm visiting her house in Pinole for the first time. Since I don't drive, it's hard for me to see her as often as I'd like. She gives me the tour.
We have a huge yard and landscaping in front of the house, so it's a very nice home.
Being here for the first time, I get the vibe that everyone keeps to themselves. How's life different here in Pinole than in San Francisco?
Quiet. We try and talk to the neighbors. They're not very friendly. I mean, they're high and that's about it, but pretty much everyone minds their own business to what we're used to in San Francisco. I prefer San Francisco.
With the injury to my Nana's leg, going places isn't too easy for her. So my mom drives me and my Nana to the store so she can buy groceries. While on our way to the market, I notice how many stores are around. I realize that maybe Pinole isn't so isolated after all. It has everything you would need.
But yeah, for me, I guess it's better here in Pinole.
Despite being priced out of her home, my Nana has made the best of her situation. She sees it as better for her to live here with my aunt, who can help care for her and take her around. What is home to you?
My home is here in Pinole with my daughter and my son-in-law. To me, a home is where you feel comfortable, you're able to put your feet up, and it's where you should feel welcome and make people feel welcome.
It's become clear to me that she has made Pinole her new home. Pinole is now the place she goes to and puts her feet up. Me and my Nana's relationship has truly been tested throughout the years, and although our bond may not be as close due to the distance, I am happy that she is enjoying life and has people to help and support her. In Pinole, I'm Julian Rodriguez for Cross Currents.
Julian was part of our summer high school intern training program. He just graduated from Balboa High School. Congratulations. And a note to our listeners, KALW's license is held by the San Francisco Unified School District. You're listening to a special Cross Currents from KALW News. Today we're showcasing the reporting of San Francisco's public school students. I'm Hannah Baba. You may not know it, but San Francisco is home to a castle not too far from the Hunters Point Naval Shipyard. The Albion Castle, hidden away behind fences and avocado trees, was first designed as a brewery in the 1870s. The original brewmaster even built underground caverns that still fill with gallons of spring water today. The castle has had many different uses over the years. It's been a water bottling company, and it's been a home for artists. A few years back, a retired San Francisco cop fulfilled a lifelong dream. He bought the castle for $820,000. Zoe Burleson has more about this extraordinary place.
I'm in San Francisco's Hunters Point neighborhood, searching for a castle. Between Innes Avenue and Griffith Street, I notice construction sites, peeling paint, and closed down stores. I wait in front of steel cobwebbed gates and avocado trees, while passersby give me confused looks. Suddenly, Jen Gilbert opens the gate and welcomes me with a big smile.
Hi, I'm Jennifer. Welcome to Albion Castle.
Jen manages these castle grounds with her dad, Bill Gilbert. Inside the castle, there are white stone walls and the wooden accents stand out against them.
When you do come here and you get past those gates, it's really like being in another world. I love when you walk through the door, you smell all the wood. I love the carvings in the staircase here. You'll see here there's a daisy, there's a tulip.
With nice leather furniture, a large fireplace, and bright sunny lighting, it's welcoming. The castle is smaller than I expected, with only 4 floors. There was once a pond outside where the castle stands, fed by natural springs. Jen says good spirits haunt the castle.
I heard that there's Native American spirits here because they had, they have like original rights to the water. And so they apparently have said that they are here for the water and that those spirits still live on.
In the late 1800s, a teenage British immigrant named John Hamlin Burnell built the castle as a brewery. He also built a cave-like structure over the springs to help make beer. Flash forward to the 20th century, and Jen's father, a retired police lieutenant, used to patrol Hunter's Point, passing by the Albion Castle almost every day.
So as a young kid, one of the excitement parts of my childhood was I would drive around with my dad in the back of his police car, and we would drive through Hunter's Point. And he would pass by every day and he would tell my mom, I'm going to buy that castle one day.
Then in 2011, according to Zillow, the castle went up for sale.
He said, this is my time, and he bought it. And we kind of thought he was crazy because just our memories of Bayview, we didn't know why he wanted to buy a castle in the middle of Bayview.
But when Jen stepped foot inside the Albion Castle, she saw how grand and beautiful it was. She realized her dad wasn't crazy. This castle was special to him, a piece of history.
He was born and raised in this area. He was a police officer. He knows these streets well. And he's not a real sentimental guy. He's kind of a tough guy. But when I saw that he really, really loved this property, that to me kind of drew me to it. Like I have to support my dad.
Now, Jen rents out rooms in the castle for events. Everything from Google dinner parties to violin concerts to Harry Potter themed birthdays. Professional football players have stayed and fawned over the castle too. An episode of Man's Ode with Children, a spin-off of The Real Housewives of New Jersey, was filmed here.
Guys, listen, I got off the internet. It's supposed to be like a castle or something, I don't know.
Is it old? A castle sounds old, Mom.
I like character.
Now and again, the castle is featured in real estate and style blogs. Forbes magazine includes the Albion Castle on its list of 18 homes with buried treasure. In 2010, this castle made headlines for a toilet that plays music and costs roughly $10,000. But a lot of people living in San Francisco have never heard of the Albion Castle.
It's a fascinating San Francisco gem that's very hidden.
Paul DeYoung lived in the Albion Castle 12 years ago. He's a karaoke jockey and hosts karaoke events. He goes by KJ Paul. Here's Paul singing karaoke.
Dragging the line.
Dragging the line.
Paul and three other artists rented the castle for $850 a piece.
And I was super excited to live there.
They painted, sculpted, swam in the cave's waters, threw parties, and hosted karaoke events.
Hey, mister, can you tell me where a man might find a bed?
So the biggest party I threw in the garden area, we set up some bars, and there was art everywhere. There was some hula hoop dancers and stuff like that in the backyard.
Take a load off Annie. You put the load right on me.
He loved living in the castle, and he loved the neighborhood too, the community surrounding the castle's gates.
Very strong artist community, and there still is in that neighborhood. You know, there's the box shop and a lot of Burning Man art gets built there. There was this little liquor store across the street. And they had these barbecues on the weekends where people would just hang out on the sidewalk and barbecue and drink beer. And it was a complicated mix of things going on in that neighborhood.
At the peak of the housing market, the landlord offered all of the artists $5,000 each to move out. But Paul convinced the landlord to let him stay for a few more weeks.
So basically my job that month was to throw as many parties as possible at the castle. And so I threw 23 parties in one month that month.
He didn't want to leave.
I actually really liked it there. It was an interesting and weird place to live.
Just a song before I go. To whom it may concern.
Now Paul wishes the castle, his old home, could be open to the public, a place that everyone could enjoy.
It's part of San Francisco's history. It's a beautiful place. It's totally been neglected, and something should happen. Like, it should be a public space, and people should enjoy it.
Back on the tour, Jen shows me the man-made caves and the freshwater pool.
And this is our main cavern. This was all hand-hewn in the 1800s, and it's And I guess that's where you can lower the buckets, and they used to get the water for the beer.
She doesn't drink the water, but enjoys listening to the water droplets fall from the ceiling and looking at the light reflect off of it.
This amazing, as you can see, clear, almost aqua marine water on the bottom, and it's kind of mysterious looking, but at the same time, very beautiful and very peaceful.
When Jen's dad bought the castle, he thought of bringing it back to its glory days as a brewery. Jen wants to bottle the spring water and sell it. She says it would be nice to bring people in San Francisco the water to enjoy, a way to spread the castle's history.
I think the water would be a good project for us, is having water sourced from those natural springs and putting it to use. And I think having water from San Francisco, a historical property like this, would be even better.
I had never heard of this castle until a few weeks ago, and had never explored Hunter's Point before. It's always nice to find hidden gems in a large city, and I think this is one that would be amazing to share, whether through a brewery, bottled water, or as a public space. As I walked through the halls and tunnels of the Abbey and Castle, I was transported to someplace else. I suppose that's the castle's magic. For Cross Currents, I'm Zoe Burleson.
Zoe was part of our summer high school intern training program. She's a senior at Burton High School. You're listening to a special Cross Currents showcasing the work of students in the San Francisco Unified School District. I'm Hannah Baba. Mexico is an unknown country to Christopher Olvera, but it's also his mother's place of origin, a homeland she left as a young girl and never returned to. Now, as a U.S. citizen, his mother longs to visit Mexico to show him and his American-born siblings their ancestral roots. Mother and son sat down to talk about their shared Mexican heritage.
My aunt Lourdes, she came to the United States, and she right away, she could have just gotten a job and forgotten about family back home, but instead she started putting petitions in with immigration to start the process so that her sisters and brothers can come to the U.S. And eventually my mom did come to the U.S. Once we got here to the Mission District, it was mostly all Latino. We all stayed at, you know, my uncle's house, and eventually we did move down to 3rd Street, and we were there for a few years.
Do you think that you would want to go back to Mexico, or at least on vacation one day?
Yes, I do plan to go back to Mexico because I want my children to know their roots. But also, I need to know them because we came here when we were very young, and I don't really remember too much about Mexico and the way it was. Another reason why it's becoming a little more urgent to go back to Mexico is because our family is getting older, the people who did stay behind, and they remember us as little kids, but we've never gone back.
Is there anyone in particular that you'd want to go see that still lives in Mexico?
My uncle, who lives here in the U.S., has told me about a family member named Tio Beto. And I believe he's my mom's brother. But I want to meet him because from what my uncle tells me, I find a lot of similarities between me and that person. For example, that person owns their own business.
Do you think that you would be welcomed by these people that you don't contact, or that they like you even though you haven't really met them before?
I believe that they would be thrilled to see us again, even though so much time has passed. One of the main reasons I want to go back is because I feel as if though something is missing as a part of me, and I feel that going back to Mexico, like something will click and I will somehow be complete. And I know, of course, that that's not necessarily how it's going to go down, but I can't help but feel like I'm incomplete on this side of the border. And it is something that calls me.
We are essentially the next generation for this family. Is there anything that you would hope to see for this next wave of Olveras?
I think about that sometimes. For example, I want them to speak more Spanish. Right now, a lot of them understand it, but they won't speak it. Even though they don't know their Mexican roots, I do want them to be more Mexican. So that's what I see and hope that we achieve as a family.
Christopher Olvera is a senior at Burton High School and took part in our summer high school internship program. You can hear all the stories from our summer interns online at kalw.org, or even better, subscribe to the Cross Currents podcast. Today's Cross Currents team includes Janae Darden, Nina Gensler-Dev, Sarah Coast, Angela Johnston, Lisa Morehouse, Marissa Ortega-Welch, Emma McAvoy, True Quinn, Marissa Shea, and Eli Wirtschafter. Our engineers are James Rollins, Gabe Grabin, and Tarek Foda. Shirin Adil is our content manager. Our managing editor is Jen Chien. Ben Trefney is our news director. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. This music is by Hectorine from San Francisco. They're playing at the Hemlock Tavern on Polk Street tomorrow night. Show starts at 8:30. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba.
I'm hurtling down between the yellow and the white. I don't make a sound in the vacuum of the night. Much to tell you exactly how I feel. I'm not in the business of hearing what is real. The timbre of your voice echoes in my mind. Like honey, as I leave you behind, the green green of your eyes is like pastures I once grazed.